How to build your dream team. I want to talk to you all today about what it really takes in order to recruit and attract good people to work for your company. Let's talk about the hard stuff. Hiring correctly requires that you, as the executive, know what the heck your company needs. It starts long before you hire someone with job analysis. McDonald's knows exactly what they need out of a fry cook. I mean, they've spent more time researching what a fry cook needs to do than you've spent on your entire company, all right? That's one of the reasons they can hire so broadly and find a lot of people to fill a role very quickly. The role is very simple. It's very well defined. They know what success and failure looks like in it, and they're able to recruit for it. Hiring your dream team starts with job analysis. A lot of ways to do it. I can do a whole episode on job analysis. But quick and dirty is you got to talk to the leaders of the organization, the managers, and people in that role, if you can find them, to figure out what does the job do, what makes people successful at it, what makes them not successful at it, what's the common thread. Salespeople who, you know, they go knock on a door, hey, I want to sell you some insurance. And then they pull the door and the door's locked and they go, oh, thank God, I'm scared, right? Like if you're not ready to go out there and put yourself in uncomfortable situations, don't be a door-to-door salesperson. Obvious section, right? There's a lot of things like that in a lot of jobs. Accounting, like bookkeeping accounting, like going through and sorting 500 invoices with attention to detail and figuring out this is this vendor and this is this expense account under this purchase order that connects to this, and doing that 500 times a day, I'd blow my brains out. I'd last a week if my family was starving, and I'd get it wrong half the time. It's not me, okay? And I know that. But if you go in there and say, I'm looking for wonderful, self-motivated people who like to work on a team and have a lot of time, you know, conversing with each other, and that's not the accountant you want in that role. Accountant's a big profession. You need someone who can focus in and do the same thing over and over without error. It's a different role, job analysis. You start there, interview people, write down what is the job, what do they do, what is good, what is bad, what is most likely to fail, what is the signs of success, and turn that into a job description. Step two, job descriptions detail the work, normally 10 no more than 20 items on there of the things that they have to have competency in, right? You need to know how to do this, and you need to do it like this. Competencies and KPIs. That's really about it. And the KPIs are optional. It's really just a list of the things you need them to be able to do, all right? And sometimes you got to get a little bit broader, like you need to be able to do it in the cold, in the refrigerator, right, while you count the inventory or whatever. But that's basically it. You take the job analysis, turn it into a job description, and then you write your job advertisement. If you were to go out and market as an accounting firm and say, hey, I'm looking for business owners who absolutely have a deep financial mind, love and understand every aspect of their finances, and just want the deepest, dirtiest, gnarliest analysis of their financial metrics. That's who I want as my client. And then your organization delivers surface level P&Ls with very little detail on a monthly basis, with little consultation and no transparency. It's not going to work. You have to connect what you market for, advertise for, with the actual role and your organization. All of these, job description writing, job analysis, and job advertisement writing, I could do an hour on. Let me know down in the comments if you want me to spend some time to lay those out in depth. But let's say you did it right. You're advertising correctly for a job description that has had good analysis, so the applicants you get, about 10% of them, are actually decent, right? Because a lot of people are just going to click the apply button anyway. Now you got a pile of applications. Here's a note. Applications are up 192% in just the last 6 months. Thank you, AI. They're able to apply for a lot more, a lot faster with custom cover letters. We used to be able to screen people out because they'd leave off commas and misspell their own name. a lot harder now that people have AI. So you're going to get a lot of applications if you've written a decent job advertisement. The advertisement, by the way, we'll do another video on it, but it should be an advert, right? It needs to attract the right people, marketing style, and then make them want to take action. If you do that well, you're going to have a ton of applicants, because most job advertisements are basically the job description posted. You need to be an advert to get applicants. So now you've got this pile of applications, then it's all about the hiring process to hire a good team member. And this is absolutely true. It is the filtering of applicants that makes a good hire at the end. Okay? But if the top of your funnel doesn't have anybody in it or has the wrong people in it, your filtering process, the hiring process, ain't gonna get you anywhere. Make sure that's right. Start with. Now, also realize it's an advertisement. It's a market. You're hiring. You're trying to sell someone on working for you, which means you may have to spend some advertising dollars, okay? I don't know how you grow your business currently, but you know if you talk to 100 potential clients, 5 of them will become your client, or maybe it's 50. I don't know. But it's the same for hiring, okay? Google spends money on advertising to hire people, even though they pay 3 times as much as you. All right? That's not because they're stupid. You have to advertise. Maybe your free applicants on Indeed and, you know, Google, LinkedIn will get you enough. But if you're not getting enough volume at the top, time to advertise. All right, now you got those applicants in. What do you do? Step one is screening. This is a visual look through of their application. You look at the application, hopefully you asked a question or 3, some knockout questions, like, I don't know if you require a college degree. Add a yes, no on there. Do you have a 4-year degree? If they say no, automatically delete the application. You gotta narrow it down. Here are some numbers. At our company, we have around 100 to 120 applicants for every 1 person we hire. Okay. It's a lot. Your company may be different. Maybe you're a plumber in a small town and there's only 30 plumbers in town and you need 10 of them. It's probably not going to work the same way. All the same processes are going to be there, but instead of paying for advertising, you should mail all 30 of those people the dang job advertisement. Okay? But you're not going to get 100 applicants. I understand. But screening is going to narrow that down. So look through the resume. You're looking for gaps. You're looking for relevant experience. You're looking for in their skills list, things that actually fit. AI can do this. There are lots of resume screening tools. If you get the kind of application volume that we do, a couple thousand in a week, sometimes you need to utilize those tools. We still don't at this point, but we're an HR company, so we kind of like making our associates go through resumes like crazy. For you, may want to use an AI tool. I'm not going to recommend any, but there are a lot out there. You can just search AI resume screening. So basic screening should eliminate 80 to 90% of your applicants. They have no relevant experience. They have nothing related to the job. You wrote a job advertisement that's supposed to attract a particular skill set and type of person. Nothing like that. Delete. All right, your remaining 10 to 20. 100 applicants, you got 15 people here. Next step is a screening call, what we call it. Now, does it need to be a phone call? Yeah. You could do an email, like in our system, literally, these are called hiring stages, resume in, screened, screening call. You click the screening call button, it emails the applicant and says, I looked at your resume. Out of 100 applicants, only 15 people get to this stage. I want to do a quick call with you. Click a button, schedule 15 minutes on my calendar, 10 minutes on my calendar. The purpose of the screening call is to verify that they are a human who you can understand, who can make an appointment on your calendar, who can answer the phone and be there on time. Shockingly, half of your people are going to fail the screening call. Okay. You've heard this. Oh, we scheduled a ton of job interviews and only half showed. Yeah, that's normal. That's totally normal. So use it on a 10-minute call, right? You can do 30 of them in a morning or most of a day anyway. Just knock them out. Sit at your computer. Make sure they can click a button on their phone to join a meeting. If they can't do that, more than likely, they're probably not at the level you need. They join on time. They at least email the day before to say, hey, I can't make it that day. I'm so sorry. My cat got sick. Whatever. They communicate something. You're going to eliminate half your people then. Now you're left with 5 to 7 people. for a main interview. The main interview is the next step, okay? This one is the tough one. This is where you go through their resume and you hold the job description in your other hand and you ask them about each job and you ask them questions that make them tell you stories that prove that they have the abilities on your job description. If it's an entry-level position, you don't have any real required competencies. You're just looking for a good person. You're looking for someone who can learn. You're looking for someone who shows up on time, who takes advantage of training, who steps up and leads. Write those things down and then say, look at their resume. Well, when you were the head of the Alpha Gamma Delta sorority, hey, you were the head. How'd you become the head? How'd you learn to be the head? What'd you do to, did you talk to any mentors? Whatever. As you go through them, as you go through each of their prior jobs, 3 to 5, if they're in their 50s and they got 20 prior jobs, maybe not go through all of them, right? Work through it, and you're looking to see how they match up against your competencies list. Rate them on a scale 1, 2, or 3. 1, meh; 2, pretty good. 3, excellent. Shouldn't be many 3s. Probably won't be many 3s. Rate them out, and that's your main interview. Again, you're going to eliminate another half. What you're left with is maybe 3 candidates out of 100. And that's where you're either going to go to a final interview, which is where the highest level position in the organization you can get does a smell check, or a fit interview. Like if you're really not, if you're maybe at a larger size, this is maybe where you have them meet with 5 coworkers on a Zoom call or in person, go out to drinks, whatever. Some cultural fit assessments can take a little bit longer. Just depends on the complexity of the role and the size of your organization. But this is your gut check. Final interview is the same way. By the time it gets to the final interview, you're probably, you know, hopefully you've got a hiring manager doing screening through Maine, or a company like ours, People Processes, can handle screening through Maine. Once they're through that, the final interview is the smell check, right? It's the, can I work with this guy? Because there's a part of any job, which is, can I work with my boss? And there are people who can work with me who cannot work with my wife. We run the company together. There are people who work with her, not going to work for me. But it's not that they're not great. It's they're amazing. It's just that they're not right for me. And part of any job is being right in the company that you're in, right? So you want to do that final interview with the highest level person that you can. Yeah. See if they're a good fit. I have guides on all this. If you need me to do an in-depth piece on main interviews, final interviews. Once you do the final interview and you decide to make an offer, there's another set. There's pre-hiring, right? So there's like background checks, credit checks, skills testing, all that kind of stuff. Maybe that's things you want to get into. There's a lot to that as well. Be happy to talk about it. But let me recap from the beginning. Before you hire, you need job analysis, job description, and job advertisement. Once you have people in the funnel, you need to filter the funnel. And that's with resume screening, screening call, main interview, and final interview. And they take a lot of time. It's a lot of work. The main interview, by the way, I'll throw in one bonus tip right here at the end. As you go through those prior jobs and ask them, well, one of our things is being able to work well in a team, right? So tell me about your team members. Who did you like working with? Who did you not like working with? What pissed you off? What? Describe your ideal team member. All right. Give me the name of a team member and their phone number, so I can call and ask them what it's like working with you. Cool. And give me the name of your boss and his phone number or email. Okay. I don't care who they put on their resume as references, unless it's the governor. And even then, I don't really care. What I care about is who did you work with and who was your boss? And I want their contact information going back through the last 5. That's where reference checking, one of those final steps, comes in super handy, right? That's actual useful information. So there's your bonus tip of the day. Anyway, I know this was a wild video. It's not scripted the way they normally are. I hope this was helpful to you. Again, my name's Rami. I don't think I said this. I'm the CEO of People Processes. We're an HR support organization. Down in the description, I'm going to have a checklist of interview questions you can't ask and a couple you can to understand your employees a bit better, your potential employees. That is a nice reference and good if you got a manager out there who maybe goes rogue, be like, don't say this stuff. Okay. But hiring itself is a big part of HR. If you ever want to meet with me, I give a 30-minute free consult to any US-based business owner with more than 10 employees. Happy to talk about your hiring process, your advertising, what you do once you get there, that's onboarding, how you manage them in the long run, that's performance management, how you pay them, benefits, retirement, offboarding, how you fire them. That's what we do, and I'd love to help you out. Thanks for tuning into this video again, and it's time for you to go out there, have a great day, and get your work done. See you later.